Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we bind all altars that are speaking against us. All altars of sickness and disease. Every altar that God did not build. Every altar, ancestral altar, hereditary altar, generational altar, inherited altars, altars from our parents and our grand. All thoughts from our maternal side or our paternal side working against our destiny. We break them by fire. We destroy them by the blood of Jesus. Hey, God told Gideon, Gideon, go to your family and destroy every altar that are speaking against your destiny. Yes, tonight, we pull down every stronghold, every altar that are speaking against our destiny. We pull down their strongholds. We destroy their power. We render them impotent by the blood of Jesus. God, we ask you to build your own altar. God, we ask you to build your own altar. The altar of Jesus Christ. The altar of the Holy Ghost. The altar of God the Father. God the Son. The altar that speaketh good things. Yes, the blood of the Lamb of God that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. God will receive your altar. That answered by fire. God, you will answer us by fire tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everyone is welcome from around the world. Everyone is welcome. God bless you all for coming. I tell you, God is going to do you good tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, we're going to be talking about searching the scripture, a word explosion and prayer. And God is going to move mightily. Thank God we have our mother in Christ here, Honorable Lady Evangelist Alaika Lawa. She's going to be sharing also. I'm going to take the first 10 minutes, and then we're going to pass the baton on. And then God is just going to have his way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Send the scriptures. Yes. Send the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. John chapter 5, verse 39 to 47. They search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. The scripture is the word of God. Search the word of God. That is, study the word of God. For in them ye have eternal life. Yes, the scripture gives you hope. For in them you have hope. The word of God gives you hope. The word of God gives you life. In Acts Apostles chapter 17, verse 11 to 13, you see the Berean Christians. It's talking about the Berean Christian. The Berean Christian, they went home and began to search the word of God. They began to study the scriptures. And as they studied the scriptures, they found out that those things that they were being preached, that have been preached, are really true. And the Bible called them the noble Christians. They said they were more noble than the ones in Thessalonica. Because they search the scriptures. There is something about searching the scriptures. See, many times people, they read the word of God like a daily time, like a newspaper. You know, the scripture says, study to be approved. It was mad that me not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of God is not newspaper. You don't read it like that. Study means you make research. You go further. You know, you ponder on the word. You meditate. You stay on it. You find out the meanings of many of those words you come across in the word of God. These search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. See, the word of God is so powerful and swelling that we believers today, we need to study it and have it on the inside of us. When you have that word, I tell you, it is the power of God. It is the weapon of the believer. It is the sword of the spirit that cuts the devil hands and legs. You know, behead Satan and all the demons and destroy them. The book of Joshua, Say, thou shalt meditate on the word day and night. You shall meditate on the word. So think on the word. Ponder on the word. Stay on the word. Remain in the word day and night. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. See, this word is very important. No? And we need to search the scripture, to search the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. You hear the word of God on a daily basis. The word of God is profitable for reproof, for correction, for teaching, for doctrine. The word of God is given by all inspiration. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So the word is an inspiration. It's profitable for rebuke, for correction, for reproof. See, for doctrine. The word of God is the light and lamp with which we move on in life. The word is true. We need to have the word as food. We desire the milk of the word. Have this word being studied, being you search it, you research. Look at it. John chapter 5, verse 9. Search. Search the scriptures. In fact, you would have used the word research. The word research is a more modern word. Then they had a shite English, so they were writing in those days, you know, they were writing in shite languages. Otherwise, the rightful word is research the scriptures. John chapter 5, verse 39 to 47. Research the scriptures. And so where is a study to be approved of God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, see, all scripture is given for correction, for reproof, in doctrine, that the man of God might be perfect. So our equipment is the word of God. Oh, yes, this word of God has been in the Old Testament stretching into the New Testament. When Moses came by the Red Sea with the Israelites, and the Egyptians were pursuing from behind, everybody was crying, "Moses, oh, Moses, are we going to die here in the wilderness?" And Moses cried unto God. He said, "God, help us, we are in trouble. How are we going to get through this?" God must have laughed at Moses. "Moses, what have you got in your hand?" See, the rod. That rod is the word of God. That is the rod you have been using on Pharaoh, and now you are at the Red Sea. You are still going to use the rod. The rod is the word of God. And then he said, "Strike the rod towards the sea." And he struck the rod, and God opened the Red Sea, and they passed through on dry land. See, the rod, the word of God. Then they don't have Bibles to carry around. But the word of God was the rod. So the rod is the answer. Okay, when Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, he used the rod. The rod is the word of God, the scripture. It is written. Man shall only by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. The devil ran away. Satan came back. I put another sensation. Jesus teaching again. It is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. You see, The rod has come again, the rod. But in the old, in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve have no rod. Adam and Eve have no word of God. Adam and Eve, they don't have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Adam and Eve, they were just there in the Garden of Eden. And then the serpent came and deceived them. They didn't use the word of God. They didn't use the rod like Jesus. Jesus pulled the word of God. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. And the devil ran away. Came again. Bow down and worship me. Jump down from the pinnacle. Turn this stone to bread. Each time, Jesus pulled the rod, pulled the sword of the Spirit. He pulled the word of God. He pulled the rod. He pulled the offensive weapon of the believer. And he hit the devil with it. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, Jesus had such description. He had the word on the inside. The sword of the Spirit is on the inside. You know, here in America, they put their pistol in the jacket, under the jacket. So if anything happens, they bring the pistol out. When they pull the pistol and they are ready to fire, you see, it's on the inside. It's with you. That's how the word of God is. The word of God is on the inside of you already. The sword of the Spirit, the only offensive weapon of the believer. So Jesus pulled it. Satan, it is written. Then he caught the devil. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Caught the devil. And the devil ran away. Hallelujah. I'm standing on the word of God. Thy word of God is power. Are you standing on the word of God?
The word of God is power.
We are standing on the word of God. Thy word of God is power. Are you standing on the word of God? So when the devil comes around you, trying to be funny, trying to put some sickness and disease on you, trying to tempt you, trying to walk on you, you pull the word of God. You pull the trigger on the devil, and he will run away. Oh, yes. That might be such description. See? Such description. St. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 39 to 47. Such description that is study the scripture. Have the word of God. Read the word of God. Study it. Make research. You know, be familiar with the seed on the word of God. So when you have it on the inside of you, the devil can play on you. The devil can cheat you. The devil can lie to you. Because you are going to confront him with the word, with the rhema, with the sword of the Spirit. And he got to run away. You can't stand the word of God. The Bible says it's a two-edged sword. It's a two-edged sword. And it cuts. The word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts left and right. It cuts. And when you release it, it cuts the devil. Cuts sin and cuts sickness. Cuts the evil. Cuts the power of darkness. And they run away. Hallelujah. I pray you learn to use the word of God. You send the scripture, send the word. You need to search it. You need to study it. You need to read it. Jeremiah said, I found that word, and it was as food to me, and I ate it as food. See, the milk of the world, the bread of life, the water of life, from the strength and vigor. That's what the word of God is. Today, I'm praying that God will make you to say the scriptures. Say the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we want to Mama continue to share with us what God has, given you for us today. Over to you.
Today, what I'm going to share today is praise.
Praise. Yes.
What is the most important thing in life? Is it to earn a living? Is it to get saved? Or is it to serve God? I believe the answer is to praise God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. By praising God, you are enjoying God. Isaiah 43 verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, created to praise and glorify the Lord day by day. We are created to glorify God day by day. Our life should be a song of praise to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God Almighty. Is praising God a selfish desire on God's part? Certainly not. Praise was the purpose for which we are created. We ought to voluntarily give praise on a daily basis. What is the meaning of praise? Praise is to honor, to worship, and to glorify and commend.
Yes.
To stretch out our hands, that is to hold out the hands in reference to open the hands and let everything go. Just stand and praise God open-heartedly. Our problem is to let go of things, to let go of our problems. When we praise God, we let go of our problems.
Yes.
We only praise something that we honor and prize highly. If you hold the Lord in the highest state of respect and admiration, it will be easy for us to praise Him.
Yes.
Praise is obligatory. Angels praise Him. Psalm 103 verse 20, bless the Lord ye His angels. The saints, we His saints, we praise Him. Psalm 34. Sing unto the Lord, O you His saints. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Psalm 149 verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Nation, national praise. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. Children must praise God. Matthew 21:16. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, that has perfected praise.
Yes.
The high and the low must praise God. The king, the people, the princes, the young, the old, they must praise God.
Yes.
Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord God Almighty. Psalm 150 verse 6.
Yes.
God get praise from the heavens, from the highest. Psalm 148:1-10. Angels from hosts, from mountains, from fruit trees, from cedar trees, from beasts, from cattle, from creeping things, God get praise from all of them. All.
Yes.
Why do we praise God? We praise God because of His majesty. Isaiah 24 verse 14, they shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for majesty of the Lord. We praise God for his glory. Psalm 138, verse 5. Sing in the way of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. We praise God because of his excellency. Psalm 140, verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. We praise God because of his greatness. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. We praise God for his holiness, who is like unto thee, O Lord, who is like thee, glorious in holiness, and fearful in praises, doing wonders. We praise God because of his wisdom, Daniel 2:20. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. We praise God because of his power.
Yes.
Psalm 21, verse 13, be thou exalted, Lord, in thy own strength, so we will sing the praise of thy power. We praise God for his goodness. Psalm 107, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We praise God for his mercy. 2 Chronicles 20:21. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. We are saved through his mercy. Praise God for his loving kindness and truth. Psalm 138, verse 2. Praise the name of thy loving kindness and for thy truth, because of his faithfulness and truth. Isaiah 25, verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things.
Yes.
Thy counsel of old, thy faithfulness and truth. We praise God for salvation. Luke 1:68 and 69. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has stirred up an horn of salvation. We praise God for his wonderful works. Praise him for his mighty hands. We praise him for his consolation. We praise him for his just judgment. We praise him for his true counsel. We praise him for keeping his promises. We praise him for pardoning our sins. We praise him for our spiritual and physical health. We praise him for our protection. We praise him for our constant preservation. We praise him for answered prayer. We praise him for hope of glory. We praise him for spiritual and physical blessing.
Yes.
How to praise the Lord. We praise the Lord with understanding. Sing ye praises with understanding. We praise him with our soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We praise the Lord with the whole heart. I praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. With our lips we praise him. My lips shall praise the Lord. Psalm 119, 171. With the mouth, Psalm 51, verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy praise. With joy, Psalm 63, verse 5, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. With gladness, 2 Chronicles 29:30, and they shall praise it with gladness. Bow their heads and worship with thankfulness, Psalm 147, verse 7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. We sing to will. Praise God continually. Psalm 71, verse 6. My praise shall be continually of thee to the end of our life. Psalm 104, verse 33. I will sing unto thee as long as I live. We praise God more and more. Psalm 71, verse 14. But I will hope continually and yet praise you more and more. The longer we live, the more and more praiseworthy things come to us. Day by day, praises. 2 Chronicles 30:21. The Levites and the priests praise the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. Some things for which to praise the Lord. we should praise the Lord for in sickness, in adversity, and in health and prosperity. We should praise the Lord for anything and everything. Philippians 4:6. The true Christian is one who can trust and praise the Lord even through blinding tears. It is enough to know that God plans and does all things well for us. Romans 8:28. We realize that we have not praised enough. Pray that God will teach us to praise Him much more in future, beginning from today. O Lord, open our lips and cause us to praise Thee more and more. Praise is the precious privilege of every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Sing a great deal. This is one good way to praise the Lord. If people praise us for our accomplishment, let us be sure to pass the praise to Him, because all glory belongs unto God. It is easy to praise the one who is truly worthy of praise, and Jesus is worthy of praise. It is easier for God to get money or service than praise from His children. Praise is an attitude of the heart. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever we do it for His glory, and God will bless us as we continue to praise God more and more. Then we pray just one prayer. Father, let me be praising You more and more.
Yes.
Let us do that prayer. Father, let me be praising You more and more and continually. Father, in Jesus' name, let us be praising You more and more and continually. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have the anointing to praise You, Lord. The spirit of praise. The grace and the mercy to praise and worship You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We give You glory. Yes, let's sing one song or two. Give Him glory to Thy Lord. He reigns. Give Him glory to Thy Lord.
He reigns. Lord. He reigns.
He reigns. He reigns. He reigns. He reigns.
Give Him glory to Thy Lord.
Adoration.
Adoration to Jesus, He reigns. Adoration to my God, You reign. You reign on this earth today. Give Him glory to my God.
He reigns. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank God today, and we worship You, Lord. Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
we worship You for who You are,
for who You are.
We worship You.
Nekin,
Jesus has made all these things clear. He said, there will be four cries and false prophets and false religions. Already we can see those things happening. You know, false religions, false Christ, false prophets, deceiving people and telling them all kind of cook and bush stories instead of showing them the word of God and getting them to know Jesus Christ and getting them saved, being born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. They kept deceiving people. False religion. They are all over the place. So as a believer, you need to know the truth of the word of God. You need to know what God is saying, what Jesus has said in the scriptures, and what the end times means. Now, it is clear that the number 666 is being distributed in some part of the world. 666 is the number of the beast. Satan is the Satan's number. They want you to have that number so that you can buy and sell during the 7 years of Great Tribulation. Because the rapture is the next event that is going to take place. Matthew chapter 24. We're expecting the rapture of the church right now. Jesus is going to come and rapture the church. We don't know whether it is so-so day or so-so time. So the angels know. When he raptures the church and he takes the church away, the man of beast, the Antichrist, will emerge with a solution to the world's problem of food, famine, hunger, medicine, and economy, and all these things. You know, and that is what the world is preparing for right now. That is what the world is preparing for. All these currency you are seeing, they are trying to make it one world religion, one world currency, one world, you know. They're trying to have one president for the whole world. They are trying to have one religion for the whole world. They are trying to have one government for the whole world. They want to. These are the things. You see the way all these wars, they are fighting and all this. They are moving. They are fulfilling the prophecy that Jesus laid down in Matthew 24. That these are the end times. There shall be wars and rumors of war. Nations shall be against nations. The truth is that it is the end time. Jesus is going to come and rapture the church. And when the church is raptured, many people will be left behind who are not ready. They will be very busy, you know, engulfed with the things of the world. They don't love the world. They don't love God. They don't love Bible. They don't love prayer. They don't love evangelism. They don't love Jesus. So the rapture will take place and they will be left behind, and then they will go through 7 years of Great Tribulation. During these 7 years of Great Tribulation, if you don't have the number 666, you can't buy or sell. 666. 666 is the Antichrist number. It's the number of Satan. The number of, some people already have it in some part of the world. They already have the number 666 under their skin. Some have it on their forehead. Some have it under their thumbs. Some have it, you know. They are programming the world. They are trying to, they are preparing the world for the Antichrist, for the end time event. See? And except you know the scripture. That's why it says, send the scripture. Matthew chapter 24, when he said the scriptures, you will know what it is and what time. You understand the time. So the sons of Issachar, they took time to understand what Israel was supposed to be doing. They took time to pray, to cite the scriptures, to understand the event. You know, what is going on? What is the next activity? See, because if you don't understand, you'll be taken unaware. See, the world is preparing itself. for end time events. You see all this technology, they are all pointing to end time events. At the end of time, knowledge shall increase and the people shall travel to and fro. The book of Daniel spoke about this. He said, at the end of time, knowledge shall increase and people shall travel to and fro all over the earth. All these are fulfillment of end time events that are going on right now. The only reason Jesus hadn't raptured the church, because Jesus wants to rapture the church, the only reason Jesus had not come is that the whole world has not been evangelized. The whole world has not been evangelized. Because in Matthew 24, Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom, that Matthew 24 verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the world before he will come again. But how will Jesus come again when the gospel have not been preached to the whole world? See? Statistics show that one-third of the world's population, one-third of the world's population are yet to hear the name Jesus for the first time. We're going to be specific now. One-third of the world's population, they are yet to hear the name Jesus Christ for the first time, which means there is some part of the world that has not been evangelized at all. The gospel has not gone to some part of the world. One-third of the world's population is yet to be evangelized. And these people are in the creeks. They are in the Arctic. They are in the hinterlands. They are in hidden villages and hidden countries of the world, hidden parts of the world. And they are yet to be evangelized. Those are the areas the church of today should be looking into. Because the evangelism we are seeing today is just circulating around the same spot. You know, the evangelism is London, America, Lagos, Accra, Ghana, South Africa, Kenya. The evangelism, you know, is not really going around the world. You know, some parts of the earth are yet to be evangelized. See, when they preach, they preach in Canada, they preach in Australia, they preach in England, they preach in New York, they preach in California, you know, they preach in Lagos, they preach in Kaduna, they preach in Johannesburg, South Africa, they preach in Kenya, East Africa, they preach. The gospel is not really going into the hinterland. And because of this, Jesus is not going to come yet. This is why Jesus had not come to rapture the church. Because the gospel is just moving in the same circle, you know, the same circle. So one-third of the world's population is yet to hear the gospel even once. The haven't heard. And this is a very serious matter. If you cannot go, you need to pray that the gospel will reach the whole earth. Even if you didn't go, you need to pray and that God will send the laborers. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. To send more laborers into the harvest field, to harvest more souls for the kingdom of God. A lot of people just want to know Jesus Christ and just sit down in the church, clapping hands every Sunday. They are not doing anything to evangelize and to reach out to those who are in need. And that is the great commission. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every Christian. Instead, what we are seeing is, building church, building programs, you know, trying to buy aeroplanes for the church and buy buildings and church buildings. All those buildings are not going to help. All those aeroplanes, they are not going to help. It is the souls that the one for Jesus Christ that are going to heaven. Those are the ones you are going to present. When you get to heaven, nobody's going to ask you how many aeroplanes you own. When you get to heaven, nobody's going to ask you how many buildings you have built, how many houses, how much you have in your bank account. No one is going to ask you any of those questions. Where are the souls you have won for the kingdom? What have you done for the kingdom's sake? What have you done for the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? See, it is the reason the rapture hasn't taken place. You know, if you want the rapture to come, then we must evangelize the whole world. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 14, that the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations before the end comes. And now, the gospel has not been preached. Statistics show that one-third of the world's population is yet to be evangelized. The world population right now is about... world population right now is about 11 billion people on earth. Now, one-third of this population is not evangelized. That's a whole lot. That's a whole lot. One-third of 11 billion people are not evangelized. See, the world population was 9 billion people, and then it increased over the years, became 10 billion people, and now the world's population is 11 billion people. And one-third of this population has not had the gospel of Jesus Christ once. So Jesus is not going to come and rapture the church yet. Except this gospel of the kingdom must be preached around the whole world before he can come. See, if you are not going, what support are you giving for the preaching of the gospel? What prayers have you prayed? What have you done? So that this gospel of the kingdom must move to every corner of the earth. What are you doing to support the gospel of Jesus Christ? Only what is done for God will remain. See, what shall he profit you shall gain the whole world and suffer the loss of your soul? You are supposed to be doing something for the gospel of the kingdom to go around the whole earth. Yes, you are either praying or you are evangelizing or you are supporting a world evangelism to reach out to the nooks and corners of the earth. Yes, we're going to pray. We have 7 minutes more. We're going to ask God that this evangelism must be done. Oh, yes. Your world must be evangelized. Souls must be saved. Even those in the hinterland, the evangelists, the missionaries must go there. God, that's why Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth more laborers into the field. Oh, yeah, we need to pray that the Lord will send more laborers. Yes, shall we pray that prayer in the name of Jesus Christ? Yes, let's pray that prayer.
In the mighty name of God,
God
Almighty, send more laborers into the field. O Lord God of heaven, in Jesus' name, you commanded us to go. Send more laborers into the field, O Lord God. You commanded us to go. You say you empower the Holy Spirit will come upon us, and we will receive the power from above to Samaria, Jerusalem, and not almost part of the earth. Oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, send more liberals, O Lord God of heaven. And the name of God, the word is good, and let all of us, all over the world, do the declaration of preaching the gospel. I'm going to preach the gospel in the name of John. Go in the world. And I can let all of us go and praise God's name everywhere. In the name of Jesus, beginning with Jerusalem, Samaria, and all the most parts of the world. And you promise to be with us in the name of John. Let the laborers go to the field, because the harvest is great. In the name of John, I mean to please help you, Lord God of heaven, in the name of John. As a preacher, in the name of John, an intercessor, for those that we go, let me continue to intercede so much so that more people will be able to go.
God loves you, Anna.